And this is Rachel.
And this is Good Girls Don't.
And welcome back.
Yay!
Finally.
Yeah. Actually don't know this, listeners, but we recorded an episode a week ago.
Yeah, last Saturday, a week ago Saturday, we recorded an episode up in Weed. We were in Weed for the weekend, celebrating my husband's birthday.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it was a pretty good episode, but
You'll never hear it.
I don't think it'll ever... Well, I like to think that if, you know, maybe 50 years after we die, there will be like a special box set vault of all the Good Girls podcasts, and that'll be one of the bonus discs.
Whatever things
that people listen to things on in that by that point.
Yeah, Rosalie will dig it out of old computer.
She'll be like, what is this? Oh my God, you guys. So maybe you'll hear it then. So,
but the reason why it was not actually published and that we're doing this now is because there was, how do you even explain it, Rachel? There was an incident
the following day.
My daughter woke up and I guess I don't know how to she lost consciousness and we didn't know why, and it was really terrifying and horrible, and we called 911 and they came to get her. We had a little ambulance ride.
Yeah.
We went to the she was, you know, blue and
I don't want to be overly dramatic about it, but I don't think there's any way to talk about it without, because it was dramatic.
Yeah, it was totally dramatic.
I woke up and was about to get in the shower. I heard you screaming and I had what felt like, it's like a 3 second run down the stairs to the kitchen. The longest 3 seconds of my life. It was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying.
My daughter was just limp and blue. And finally we found out she was breathing, which was
good. She was breathing. She did start. The more I replayed in my head, it's like I realized at one point she started crying. And so she was clearly breathing.
Yeah.
But it was awful and it was terrifying.
It was terrible.
I keep saying terrifying, but it was.
I thought she was choking.
Yeah.
Anyway, the ambulance got there. They took Rosalie and I to the hospital in Mount Shasta, which was like, I don't know, it was like MASH.
That place was, let me say they seemed to be wonderful people, but definitely like... primitive.
They took great care of us. They had limited resources.
Yes. Yeah.
But so they kept us there for an hour. Her color came back and she was, you know, jumping around. So we got in the car to drive back to the cabin. And then...
Which is where I was. I stayed behind to clean up.
And she lost consciousness again and was white. Her tongue was white. Her lips were white. And my daughter has the most beautiful rosy red lips. And so we took her back to the hospital. They kept us there all day. And then we had to take a 4-hour ambulance ride to UC Davis.
And they wanted to originally life flight her, right?
But yeah, the weather was raining, so bad. Which, thank God. I don't know if I could have done the helicopter. I mean, I would have, of course.
Yeah.
But
but thank God you didn't have to.
Yeah. But the ambulance ride, I don't even know if I got to tell you about this.
Yeah, you actually haven't told me about this.
So it was, do you remember the guy that came first? I think his name was Joe, and he was kind of like the lead guy.
The cop who came initially?
No, the lead
paramedic
guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he was really nice and calm. I really liked him.
So he took us there, and so when it came, it was like 9... So that was, 9 a.m.?
Mm-hmm.
And then at 9 o'clock at night was when we were finally going to get the ambulance ride to UC Davis. So Joe comes back and he's our ambulance ride again.
Oh, my goodness.
And at first I was like, oh, my God, that guy had the worst breath. Like, I can't believe it.
Joe.
I was fine with it. I'm like, he was very nice. He, you know, saved my daughter's life.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. It's fine. So anyway, Joe is in the back of the ambulance with Rosalie and I. Rosalie and I are on the gurney. She's on my lap. And he proceeds to tell me the life of a paramedic and how they usually last about 5 years. And he's been there about 5 years. He can't handle it anymore.
Uh-huh.
Told me about, you know, the guy that... he and his daughter both lit on fire and she was 6 and she died. And I'm just like, do you not, like, come
You're
on,
like, my
guys.
Daughter's right here on the gurney and I'm having the most traumatic day of my life right now. Can we not?
It was
Joe's bedside manner left a little, gurney side manner left a little bit to be desired.
Like, the helicopter ride might have
been
okay.
Was this the young guy?
No.
Oh, I'm thinking of the young guy who was like...
I know, the young, like, cute, nice
guy.
No, this guy was like the seasoned
Okay. Yeah. Never mind. Because I like that young guy who was very calm and very, like... like, I felt like he had a really good, like, way of talking to Rosalie, yeah. like, in the middle of the chaos of everything, when, yeah. like, everybody was showed up at the house.
Well, okay, so that's why I was going to ask you, because now, like, you told me today, tonight, that Corey came downstairs in his underwear. Yes. I have no recollection of Corey in his underwear. All I remember is, like, call 911. That's all I remember.
I don't think that you ever looked in Corey's or my direction. We both came racing down. We were upstairs in this loft area that had a spiral staircase that came down into the living area, and so which made it just feel like it took forever to run down the stairs. But I came running and I stopped at the foot of the stairs, and Corey was like, he was awakened out of a dead sleep, you know, from this. I know, really. And he came running behind me. I don't even know if he had his glasses on or anything. And I turned around. I was like, oh, he's but it was like one of those like dual thoughts of like, oh yeah, there's my husband standing in his underwear. Oh my God, where's, you know, what the yeah. hell is happening, and what are we doing? And like, I didn't fully process it, but I'm pretty sure that you never even, I mean, you were, yeah. you were obviously otherwise occupied. So,
yes. So yeah. I did not know that Corey was in his underwear.
He was.
Okay. But so answer me this though, because it sounds like you are having a better recollection than I am. How many people were in that tiny cabin?
That's actually a really good question, because so initially a paramedic showed up.
No, a policeman.
A policeman. You're right. Sorry, policeman. So you called 911, and I remember you saying it's going to take forever for somebody to get here, because we were sort of out in the boonies. You know, we were mm-hmm. this little secluded cabin. So I went running out after you called 911. I think you might even you were probably still on the phone, because they were giving you
on the phone. Yeah.
They were giving you instructions. So I went running outside and ran. There was a long driveway that ran up to the road. So I ran up the driveway
to the end
of the road, and I looked around. I didn't see anything, and I came running back down. Or I started running about halfway down, and something caught my eye, and I turned around and I saw flashing lights. So I ran back up, and it was the police car. It was like a police SUV. So I waved him down. I mean, not that he couldn't have found it anyway,
well, yeah.
but you know, when you're just feeling desperate. So I waved him down, ran inside. He was right behind me. I mean, he must have like bolted out of that mm-hmm. SUV. He was inside the house so fast. And within 4 minutes, probably, the young paramedic was yeah. there, and maybe his partner, and then
the ambulance came.
So there was a whole other ambulance crew. I would say there's probably six people in addition
okay.
to us.
Okay,
at least yeah. At one point, it was a small house.
Know.
Yeah,
it just felt like all of a sudden, like just like person after person, just yeah, kept coming in the door. I'm
and
like,
I,
oh.
and Rosalie was pretty calm. You know, she was yes. she was definitely cognitive at that point, but she yeah. was real, she really kept her shit together. I was really yeah. proud of her.
She did.
You know, I don't know if I would have kept my shit together.
The key thing was, so we get in the ambulance, and she's kind of like, you know, they're asking her a couple questions, and she at first she was kind of like, and then she's like, this is bumpy.
She's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, she perked up.
It yeah. was, that was one of the first things she told me when I saw her in the hospital later. I was like, yeah. I was on a gurney and it was bumpy. And
so that we went to the hospital and we spent the night in the hospital that night. It was like the yeah. worst sleep I ever got. Because they have the thing that they stick on her finger to get her blood oxygenation or whatever it is. Anyway, it kept falling off all night, and so every time it would fall off, the machine that she was hooked up to would go
beep! Oh God.
And so we were sharing the room with a sick little girl and her mom. Oh. And so it's like I knew I was waking them up, I was waking Bobby up, and I'd yeah. have to go like press machine, because I was in the hospital bed with her, and then yeah. Bobby slipped on the chair thing. Oh. So anyway, but the next day was Halloween, which was a major bummer.
Yeah.
Except they did a like a carnival kind of thing, or a fair. Like all the different stations decorated their door and did like yeah. a trick-or-treat thing, so the kids could come around and get treats. And they had costumes all donated.
Aww.
I've got to say, if you ever have a chance to donate anything, donate to them, because it was the sweetest
thing. That is, I saw some of the photos, and it was really, like, I was so happy to see her up kind of walking around and to see all the festivity.
Yeah.
You know, that's a major kid holiday right
there. I know.
There,
well,
so.
It was awesome. And so they yeah. were actually trying. The doctor is like, okay, not that I would ever like compromise my anything, but I would like to get her out of here in time to go trick or treating.
Like, it's possible.
But it was, he's like, but you know, I do have to wait for the neurologist. Mm. And so, but they tried to get us out of there on time. But by the time we got back to Sacramento, it was pouring and she couldn't go trick or treating.
You can blame it on the rain. I mean, yeah.
Oh my God, Milli Vanilli, really?
Sorry, I had to bring it all down.
But yeah.
I don't want to get all mushy, but I am so glad that little girl is okay. And
I know.
She scared the hell out of all of us.
You guys were awesome. Thank you for being.
We were really glad we were there.
Such good friends and family. That was
we love you guys.
That was rough.
I the next day at work I felt like I had the flu. Like, yeah. I felt beat up. And I told you tonight when we came over, I said, I know that a cat is not equivalent to a child. I know that, even though I'm a crazy cat mom. I get that. I would never try to say that. But that night, I had a dream about my cat getting out. This is a cat who has gotten out before and traumatized me. But I dreamt that he got out and I caught him and I was holding on to him so tight in my dream. Aww. That he was squirming, and I woke up and I was just like almost in tears. And I know that, you know, that it was just like all that stress and that fear and anxiety that was just, you know, wrapping itself up into this little creature, you know, who was a huge part of my life. And you know, but it made Corey and I both think about our nieces, you mm-hmm. know, a lot. And I mean, I consider Rosalie to be my niece, essentially,
she is.
You know, so it's just like my little girl here. It's my kid. Like, Rosalie's are, it's like, you know, just made me. Okay, big sigh.
Okay, you had a moment.
I had a moment. I have.
Yeah, this whole week, I couldn't get myself together this whole week. And
yeah.
It's just, yeah.
It's sort of we had a lost weekend. Last podcast.
Well, and actually, the other thing was, is, you know, I know Corey was having issues in his family too.
Yeah, we've had some family health issues, and I think things are, you know, on the upswing. But it's just one of those weeks, I think. And you know, and then you tie it all into the election, and I think the anxiety level. I think that's partly why I have felt like I've had the flu all week too. I've had like post Rosalie trauma, pre election anxiety. It's like, no wonder I feel like I've been beat up.
Yeah,
and I'm not even kidding. I've been so emotional. All week long.
We woke up in this house so depressed, and it took like all day long. We talked about all the things that were wrong, and at the end of the day, we're just like, wow, we are so stressed out about this election. Like, I can't.
Seriously stressed out.
I can't even think straight. It's.
Yeah. So here's how like emotional and like worked up I am about it. We watched Saturday Night Live last night.
That's actually when we started talking about it.
And the cold open that they did, Alec Baldwin and Kate McKinnon. I don't know if you saw the opening, and you know, they did the little mock debate or whatever it was, and they were sniping at each other, and it was really? Like emails. It's like, here he is kissing Putin. It was all funny. And then they break character, and you know, they had the bit where Kate McKinnon and Alec Baldwin were like, we're tired of this. We're tired of playing. It was obviously like not improvised, but they're like, we're tired of this election. And aren't we all tired? Why can't we all just get along, essentially? And then, but at the end, when they like joined hands and said something to the effect of, you know, we can't tell you how to vote, but think about the country you want. I started crying.
Okay, we did too.
I started crying.
Okay, I'm so glad it wasn't just us.
Oh my God, I sat there and I was like, and I looked at, and Corey had been gone during the day, mm-hmm. and I started crying, and I said, this is actually not the first time I've cried over it today. I said, I saw something else online about Hillary's campaign, and I saw something about how it had been raining at one of her rallies, and she had this moment where she just sort of lifted her arms to the sky, and it was like, felt like a very real moment, and like, sort of like, I finally reached the end of the road, now whatever happens, happens. Mm-hmm. And that made me cry too, and I was just like, oh my God, the weight of this election has been so heavy, and we joke about it all the time, but it's so serious. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so, I don't, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of consequences.
I'm going to be so... Well, here's the thing. I'm going to be glad when it's over, no matter what, because it's going to be ripping off this Band-Aid, right?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah.
I mean...
Ow.
So here's the thing. We're either going to rip off our Band-Aid and it's really going to hurt, and we're going to be like, oh, it's healed. Or we're going to rip off our Band-Aid and it's really going to hurt, and it's going to be like, oh, we have this festering wound.
Boil. It's just, now we have to cut off our arm.
And there's like larva in there.
I'm really scared about the larva.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Here's the thing. I am really scared about the larva. And there's really... So no matter what happens on Tuesday. And, you know, it's been a week since the email... More than a week since the email bombshell, which turned out to be nothing. And
I
I'm
know.
Just so... annoyed that the FBI, that James Comey even like put that on the world, essentially, and just screw that guy.
What is going on in the FBI, though? Like, there's something bad happening. I mean, things are not good.
The thing is, regardless of what happens on Tuesday, I feel like even if, I'm going to say, when Hillary wins, I feel like Donald Trump has just, he has made this, he has just ripped the Band-Aid off this whole festering mess of people, and he has given them the power to feel emboldened, to be terrible people publicly. They can't just be terrible people in their own little hellholes. They now have to be, and or online, you know, which is bad enough to be an online, you know, shitbag.
But now, online shitbags.
But now he's just given them the power to yell at people at rallies and to threaten mm-hmm. people and to, you know,
and to lie and to outright lie,
to outwardly lie and to threaten intimidation and voting booths. And, you know, who knows what's going to happen on Tuesday. And I hope that they're not that emboldened, but we'll find out.
Well, so I guess I'm the one in this house, at least, who's always like, oh, you know, worst case scenario. Oh, my God, everything's going to be terrible. Uh-huh. But I'm like, if let's say Hillary wins, I am so scared that Wednesday it's going to be like civil war, or
I am worried about that too. So I've gone through varying phases of worrying about that. Like I'm not normally somebody who's like, oh, you can't go there because, you know, that's a dangerous country. I mean, not that I'm going to go to Syria or something, well, yeah. but you know what I mean. Like people who say don't go to France because mm-hmm. there's terrorism there. And it's like, well, if I could afford to go to France, it's like that's
I'm going to France.
Like, I'm not going to let things, that fear, stop me. And I also, so I've been kind of wavering between, I'm not going to be afraid of what happens on Wednesday, and then feeling like, oh, maybe I am actually afraid. And so yeah. I was thinking about it today, and I was like, but maybe my biggest fear is that we're all not better than this. Maybe my biggest fear is that that group of people is bigger than I think that it is.
Yes.
And so my fear, so I keep telling myself, I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think that we're, that as a whole, that we're better than that, and that this country will not sink on, which is not to say that festering larva, you know, group of internet shitbags is not going to still exist and come to life. But I'm praying.
My new blog. Yeah,
my new blog, internet shitbags.
Festering larva shitbags.
Doesn't really roll off the tongue, though.
No, you can work on it.
I'm worried about what that group does because they have been given power, but I also am trying to have faith that that group isn't as big as we make, as big as the internet makes them seem to be.
I'm hoping they're all the, like, lazy Walmart people that I think they are. Do you know what I mean? Like
they're in their little,
like, oh, I'm gonna get my pitchfork, but, you know, I gotta watch the show. I gotta watch Judge Judy first. Like, that's what I'm hoping.
Here's hoping.
Except my did you know that my stepmother and father watched Judge Judy? Sorry, not to change the subject, but
I did not know that.
So now I feel bad because they are definitely not going to be part of the revolt on Wednesday.
I did not know that they watched.
They are both supporting Hillary Clinton. So,
I mean, Judge Judy is what? She's the richest person on TV.
Oh, yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah, richest person or richest or highest paid woman or something like that. Which, that could be a huge, like, she's one of the highest paid entertainers on TV.
Interesting.
Which I did not know until a couple of weeks ago. So,
man, yeah, maybe we're missing out.
Why are we making fun of Judge Judy?
Oh, God. Sorry.
Yeah. Laughs on us. So. Huh.
Well, I guess we need to lighten the mood now. So, okay, here's the thing. We have no control over what happens Tuesday. We have control over how we handle ourselves on Wednesday.
I have faith in you guys. Come on, world. We got this. We don't have to be shitty to each other.
No. And you shouldn't be shitty to each other. Life is big.
There's enough room in this world for all of us to just have our lives and to be, if not good to each other, just be okay to each other.
Yes, thank you.
Can we just be okay to each other?
So, speaking of liars and toddlers, because Donald Trump is kind of like a lying toddler.
Yeah, yeah, not kinda. He took his Twitter away, Paloma.
God. Okay. So my child tonight was sitting on the couch with our cat Violet, and she was, oh, Mom, and she looked at me with like the most curious look, like, just, Mom, Violet's, what was it? Violet wants to go to the playground.
Well, maybe she does.
Well, Violet wants to go to the playground? Yeah, she just told me.
Maybe she did tell her.
I know, Rachel. I don't know how much my kid is paying you, but...
Well, I am a crazy cat lady.
I know. Oh.
I am somebody who has conversations with my cat.
But yeah, but this is not the first time she's done, like, silly stuff with Violet, though. Like,
is it just Violet? Because you guys have three cats, so is it just Violet that she has this conversation?
Well, so she won't talk to Lily because Lily scratches her.
Oh, okay.
And she'll always tell people, she's like, we have three cats, and two of them are nice, and one of them is bad.
Aww.
It's true.
Lily's just misunderstood.
Yeah. What other happy things do we have to talk? Oh, I went to my high school reunion.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about it on our Lost podcast.
But we want to talk about it again.
Well, now I can't remember what I said before, but anyway, it was fine.
I asked you if you had fun. And I asked you if you felt like you got, you know, people go to their high, you go to your high school reunion, it's been years since you've seen somebody.
Yes.
And you have maybe perceptions of those people from when you were,
yes,
in school together. And so years later, did your perceptions change? Was it any better? Was it any worse?
Not a lot of people went. Hmm. One girl went, I made a connection with a girl that I wasn't, close with by any means, mm-hmm, but she and I had a close mutual friend, and it was, she and I had some insight into that situation. So, mm-hmm, actually I made a good connection with her. I met some people that I probably wouldn't have ever considered myself friends with in high school. Mm-hmm. I left with them as Facebook friends, and so I feel good about it. And then, you know, I said the next day I was actually feeling very negative about the whole experience because I drank way too much. I fell down on the dance floor. Like,
not to laugh at you falling down.
Things like that.
But
then, like, on Halloween, I got a message from a Facebook or a high school friend who wrote, oh, I didn't see you at the reunion. I wish I would have. And it was just kind of this reminder that, you know, I don't think things were that bad. And I don't think I was, like, as hated as I thought I was, or whatever it was, I thought that my issue was.
I think it's interesting because time gives you perspective, which,
yes,
is obvious and cliche, but whatever. And but I think it also, one of the things, like, I learned when I went to my 10-year reunion is, like, you learn that other people's perceptions of you are not necessarily what you thought that they were.
Exactly.
Like, somebody will be like, oh, I remember you as being XYZ, and you're like, you did? You thought I was that? And usually it's a positive thing. It's,
yes,
like, yeah, it's like, you know, somebody once said to me, you know, I remember you. You were so good at this, and I can't remember what the this was, but I remember just kind of staring at her like, "Who are you talking about? Like, you got the right person." and it was eye opening. It was like, oh, we have these negative perceptions of other people and ourselves, and we get caught up in it. We live inside mm-hmm, our heads, and then you have an interaction with somebody who says something really, you know, from high school, and you're like, oh, I wasn't hated, or I wasn't nobody. Not everybody yeah, thought I was a total geek. I mean, some people did, but...
Yeah. So there's this one guy when I first got on Facebook that I'd known since kindergarten, you know, forever.
Yeah.
And I always felt like I was really mean to him in school. Like, I felt like I made fun of him or teased him or wasn't nice to him. And so when we became friends on Facebook, before any other interaction, I actually wrote him immediately. Mm-hmm. And I said, I am so sorry that I was ever mean to you. Like, you know, because he's a really good person. There's,
yeah,
no reason for me to be... And he wrote back, he's like, I remember you as being one of the sweetest people,
aww,
in school. I was like, oh, just kidding.
that reminds me of something semi-related.
Yeah.
So I had a friend who, I was in high school, I was really good friends with her for a couple of years. And then we got into this big fight over something, and like a huge fight. And then she changed schools. So she transferred to another school, and I never saw her again. And I never had, like, years passed, and I, at a certain point, I regretted, like, how the argument ended, and, like, the role that I played in it, and that the way that our friendship ended. So years later, I found her on Facebook. Like, I had to look her up through somebody else. Like, oh, this person would probably be mutual friends because she had changed her name. Like, her last name was different or something. So I finally found her. And I friended her, and she accepted my friend request. And so I did that thing. I did the same thing. I sent her a message immediately, and I apologized for everything that I had said in that argument and the way that it ended. And I was really sorry, and I was sorry I'd lost her friendship. And she responds with, like, oh, you know, that was so long ago. I don't even remember all of that. Like, not a big deal at all. Like, it was sort of like, haha, that's really funny. I never really thought about it. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, I'm like, I guess I'm glad that it didn't scar you. Like,
no kidding.
But I was like, okay, you know, and I was like, well, that's a little eye opening because maybe stop being so self-involved, Rachel. Yeah. You know, like, it's not all about you, and it impacted you, but it didn't necessarily impact her.
Yes.
So I was like, okay, that's cool. And so we were friends on Facebook for a while. And then I don't know if you ever do this, but all of a sudden one day I was like, huh, I haven't seen any of her posts in a long time.
No, stop.
So I go to her page and she had friended me. And I was like, what? I thought everything was okay.
This is like my nightmare, Rachel. I'm totally getting anxiety right now thinking about this.
I'm like, why did she unfriend me? I'm like, is this her getting back? Was this whole all thing? This whole thing
she's
a ruse?
That good.
This whole thing was a ruse. Like, oh, she will hunt me down and find me and friend me and apologize, and I will take the high road, and I will act like I will not only take the high road, I'll act like I didn't give a shit. Yeah, like,
I barely remember that.
And then I'll unfriend you when you least expect it.
Wow, did you request? So here's the best thing to do is you request them back.
No.
Oh, come on,
no.
Do it.
No.
It's so uncomfortable for them. You know it is. You got to.
No, because
I've done that a few times.
Because here's the other thing. This is just sad. It just, like, when I was looking at her profile when we were still friends, I was like, huh, she's not the, like, that's not who I don't know. She just, like, was a completely different person than I remembered. Like, oh, okay. It was like, I don't remember that person. That person I see on Facebook is not the person I remember being friends with. And that's fine. I mean, people grow up and change and whatever. But it was, like, such night and day from the person that I remembered that we were clearly in different worlds. And so that's fine. I mean, maybe she just decided that our worlds were really too different.
But how come you don't like to refresh? I think that is the funniest thing. I always do that. If I finally discover, I'm like, oh, watch this.
Oh, my God. Because, I don't know, because even thinking about that makes my stomach hurt.
Oh, I really like it. You told me that somebody from your hometown keeps...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Speaking of Facebook, I was born in Wichita Falls, and I only lived there for about 2 years, but I have family there still, and my stepdad lives there now, and I have some, like, second cousins and stuff, and so I go back there. I was back there last year, and, you know, I go back there semi-regularly, so last year... I think I was there in October, and on my Facebook page, it shows Wichita Falls is my hometown, because I feel a deep connection to it. And sometime, like, earlier this year, somebody from Wichita Falls friended me on Facebook. Now, it's a small town, but it's not, like, a tiny town. It's, like, it's a military town, so it's big, like, it's medium-sized. But I was like, that's really weird. Like, we don't have any mutual friends. I'm not friends with any of my family from Wichita Falls because most of them are older. Like, you know, my stepdad is 80-something. And so it was just like, that's really bizarre. Like, and I, the first person who friended me, I'm like, well, maybe they're, like, friends with a cousin. I mean, my name is not that... my name isn't very common. So I'm mm-hmm. like, maybe somebody saw my name... I don't know. Maybe maybe they searched Wichita Falls, saw the name, and said, oh, I know... a LeBrock in Wichita Falls, yeah. Whatever. But then today I got another request from somebody in Wichita Falls. And it's like this young girl. She looks like she's maybe 18. Hmm. And she looks like a college student. I have no idea who she is. And I'm just like, why is... It's just bizarre.
Yeah, bizarre. That is bizarre.
But I accepted her request. So if you're listening, yeah. I can't remember what your name is right now. But if you're listening...
Tell Rachel how you know her.
Hi. nice to meet you virtually. I don't know if we have any... friends in common, but hey,
how do you know her?
I'm saying that nicely. I'm curious. I accepted the friend request because I was curious, and I guess part of me is like, it's a little connection to, you know, my hometown. Yeah. So, but not that I want everybody from Wichita Falls to friend me.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah.
You know what? I feel so bad because it's speaking of, like, hometowns, because Weed is close to my hometown. And, you know, while we were there and we recorded our episode, we had the longest discussion about Lemurians. Mm-hmm. And we even did some prep before the show.
Oh, my God.
Did some
you guys,
research.
This episode was good.
I know.
It was good. We had a good name for it.
I know. Oh, what was it? Was it really good?
Cowers in the Attic.
Oh my god, it was so funny because we were in an attic. Yeah,
I don't know if you guys actually
cowers
heard me. With
in the attic.
Cowers in
god
the attic.
Dang it!
It was a good episode.
I know.
You know, it's going to go down as the best episode we ever did.
And no one will ever know.
It probably sucks.
Except the weird thing was, I wanted to get all like Blair Witch on you because we had to have those headphones on. I wanted to turn around so we weren't looking at each other.
She did. We were literally up in the attic bedroom, and she Palomo did want to sit. I was on the bed. She wanted to sit on the floor, not facing me. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Leave me alone.
Like, this is getting weird fast.
I had my own plans. Maybe I'm a Lemurian.
Oh, shit.
Actually, so what's funny is I told everyone before we left on Friday, I told people at my work that I was going to weed. And I was telling them about the Lemurians. And they all thought I was weird because, you know, I kind of am.
Yeah.
And so then I didn't show up back to work on Monday and Tuesday. And so the rumor was I got abducted by aliens. So when I came back to work, I wore a purple shirt.
So start talking about crystals. Yes, and like...
Yeah. Anyway, but it was the funny joke all week was that, you know, is that alien Paloma talking? But it's funny because it probably was alien Paloma because I was kind of out of it.
You did have an otherworldly experience.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for being such good friends.
Well,
and
you guys don't have
being
to thank
there
us
for us. I know. And I know you think it's so stupid, but I really hope that I wasn't like awful.
Paloma apologized to me today or asked me if she was rude when all of this is happening. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Well, I really was. I hope that not that I thought I, because I did not keep my cool during this, but I would never.
You did really well. You and Bobby were champs.
Unkind to people.
You,
and
were,
I was,
you were not unkind to okay anybody. And the thing is, you could have been, you could have turned, you know, Linda Blair on me and it would have been completely understandable.
It
would have been fine. We were glad to be there for you. And I mean, in the sense that nobody should have to go through that but them by themselves.
Yeah, that was
so
really
we were glad to be terrible there for you as friends and to also just be there to try and help. And I don't know.
Yeah, I'm glad you guys were, because I don't think I would have remembered everything or had that I think it would have, I don't know if anyone would have understood.
I think it took four of us to remember everything.
Yes.
That's the thing. It was such a crazy moment and day that it took all, especially the initial thing with calling calling 911.
Yeah.
That takes four people to remember because it was crazy.
Yeah, that was, and I remember in the hospital because they wanted to know because they weren't sure if she was having seizures or whatever. And they were asking me these questions like, how long was that? I'm like, it felt like 20 years. I don't know. It was probably 20 seconds, but it felt like an eternity.
It felt like a lifetime. And I do, I know I've brought this up a couple times. I do just, again, want to publicly apologize for texting you about the dip.
Oh my God. Right, so
sorry.
So what's funny is Rachel didn't know that
I stayed behind because we didn't know what was happening, and I told Corey to go. You went in the ambulance with Rosalie, and I told Corey to go in the car with Bobby, and I said I'll stay behind and pack because we're supposed to be out of here at 11, and it's like, you know, 9 o'clock in the morning. And
well, yeah, and none of us were probably thinking properly.
None of us were thinking properly. So I'm in this house by myself trying to figure out what to
drinking do. Cup of coffee after cup of coffee.
I was so over caffeinated by the time.
Well, so we were at the hospital the first time, and so we're on our way leaving. We tell Rachel, heat up the oven. We're gonna have breakfast burritos.
Yeah, we're gonna have breakfast burritos. So I'm like, okay, so I start like getting everything out, and we had made, you made dip, like French onion, not French onion dip, like
yeah, some
whatever,
ranch dip, whatever
dip,
it
ranch
was
dip
for vegetables
the night before. Because
we eat vegetables like good people.
We did.
Just
slathered
kidding.
In
there
dip.
There were ruffles.
But so there's two bowls of dip, and so I take them out of the fridge, and you had texted me about the potatoes,
yeah.
So I text you, I'm like, should I throw out the dip?
All the while, we were in the car with this like child passing out.
And I'm
lips.
Like, oh my gosh, not texting me back.
But what? So what's funny is Rosalie's finally like coming to, you know, what, a half hour later or something. And then I finally check my phone and it's like, hey, should I throw away the dip? I'm like, Rachel, yes.
I was... And at this point, I already knew what was happening because Corey had texted me, but I texted, when you texted me back, you're like, no, go ahead. Or you're like, yeah, go ahead and throw it out. I'm like, I want you to know I texted that before. Please, for the love of God, do not think that I just asked you about the dip while you were at the hospital.
So what was really funny is when I got it, that didn't even occur to me. I wasn't like, oh, who's this asshole? Like, Rachel, really?
I felt like such
it was
an
more
asshole.
Like, poor Rachel is there all by herself and probably like so nervous. She's like concerned about this dip so much.
That's probably a big part of it too. I did go, but here's the weird thing. So I was at that house by myself for about 5 hours, I think.
Oh God.
But it weirdly felt like 20 minutes.
That's what I was thinking. Like, it probably was 5 hours, but no, that, like, that was, in my mind, it might have been 20 minutes.
Yeah, honestly, I told Corey later, I'm like, I was in that house by myself for 5 hours, cleaning, packing up things, sitting, pacing, you know, and I'm like, it felt like 20 minutes.
God. Well, you know, even that ambulance ride, the 4 hours listening to the disgruntled paramedic, that, like, 4 hours in an ambulance sitting the way we were should have been, like, horrible. It felt like a flash.
Wow. Well, I guess there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. Glad we made it.
I am really glad you made it.
You know, I didn't drink all week.
Really?
Yeah, because I was so scared of Rosalie passing out again. I was like, I can't. I mean, I have to be ready to go to the hospital.
That's because, okay, I drank for you then.
Well, yeah. So, but then by this Saturday, I'm like, she's good.
Just kidding. Mama needs a drink. Speaking of drinking, we should talk about what we're drinking.
Yes, tell us about the special treat you brought.
So I hosted book group last month, and somebody brought over a bottle of, like, is this like a rosé type of thing?
I think it is. Yeah.
So it, what's it called? Miravel?
Miravel.
Well, anyway, it doesn't even matter what it was called. How it was explained was, this is from Brangelina's winery.
Ooh.
And I was like, oh. So anyway, it got put in my fridge and not touched again, because tons of people, you know, if you ever want to start a wine collection, just start a book group.
Well, I would say you're probably not the biggest rosé fan.
I'm not a, you know, I don't necessarily drink a lot of wine.
It would have made it 3 hours in my house.
But so tonight we were leaving the house, and Corey's like, hey, don't you think you should take something over? And he had already grabbed, he didn't even know, but he's like, this looks like something you guys would drink. And he's in the bathroom, or I'm in the bathroom, and he's telling me this, and I said, which bottle did you grab? And he's like, oh, it was the pink one. I'm like, it better be the Brangelina one. He's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, that's like, before they split up, they had a winery.
We could be drinking very high-priced
wine.
And
so here's the thing, it's like, this could actually, because now that they've split up, I assume that the winery is, like, going under. But here's the thing, it's actually really good.
It's really good.
It's really good. Like, I thought it was going to taste awful. I was like, I make no promises for this. And it's actually super tasty.
Have I ever told you my experience with an Angelina Jolie business? I guess I have, in Cambodia.
No.
Okay. So in Cambodia, I went there in 2004. Actually, it was 2004, 2005. And so there's this restaurant in the town of Siem Reap, and it's called the Red Piano. And it's when she went there and when she was adopting her children, that's kind of a place she frequented. And so they talk about her. Like, she is a big deal in Cambodia.
I can imagine.
People talk about her all the time. But I went to the Red Piano, and it was really funny to think about Angelina Jolie being there, because it was like the fancy restaurant in Cambodia, but it's probably like Olive Garden, you know?
Still pretty fancy.
But yeah, but so it's always been my weird little connection with her. And it's weird because it sounds so stupid, me talking about it right now.
But when I was there, it
was a big deal.
It was a big deal to them. So it's like, culturally, it's part of the cultural fabric.
And that trip, like, it totally transformed my life, and being in Cambodia did. And so I think I do it. There's a small part of me that feels a closeness to her.
We're going to talk about that on another podcast.
But
the takeaway here is that if you can manage to get your paws on a bottle of this Brangelina Rosé or whatever it is, it's pretty damn good.
But maybe
you guys will be smarter than us and actually put it away so you can sell it for like $1,000.
Let's look it up and see if it's in, like, what it's all about.
But then if I find out it's worth like $1,000,
you're going to make me throw it up.
Put the cap back on the bottle.
I don't think it's worth as much if it has bile in it, okay?
Oops, sorry.
Yuck. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone.
Yeah, thanks for listening. We're glad to be here. So
until
next time, Good Girls Don't was engineered by Bobby Jordan and Paloma Jordan.
I pressed the save key a lot.
You did most of the work. But Bobby, you did a lot too, so thank you. It was produced by Paloma Jordan and Rachel LeBrock.
Yay!
Child care services provided by Bobby Jordan and Corey Vick. Uncle Corey.
Hey, wait, real quick. Should we get producer chairs?
We should.
I think, like, with our name on.
Let's get on that.
Okay, okay. Anyway.
Catering provided by the New Gym Boys in Woodland. And alcoholic services provided by the love that was once Brad and Angelina.
Yeah. Aww.
Pre-divorce tastes pretty good.
Pour out a little liquor, I guess.
No, it tastes too good.
I know.
Good night, you guys.
Bye.
Bye.